Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A jam-packed show coming up today for you. And it's great to be with you on this Friday. It is great to be sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Just went to Brewers Outlet a little more than a week ago. I needed to stock up on my pickles from the pickle bar. I love the barrel pickles. And also, great selection of domestics, imports, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up today, we go to Baltimore. We will talk with Dick Girardi at the Preakness on the Preakness Stakes being run tomorrow, as California Chrome tries to make it the second leg of horse racing's Triple Crown. Dick Girardi will join us in the next half hour. Then we're going to go to Pittsburgh and talk with, in fact, next half hour is going to be Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Then we're going to go to Dick Girardi in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about the Preakness. Coming up on Monday, Kurt Smith, who wrote the book Voices of the Game. We're going to talk about Harry Callis, Bob Prince, and some of the greats of baseball broadcasting that have made such a difference, and also about the differences between the learning curve of today's young broadcasters trying to pick up how to broadcast by listening and how difficult it is to do by listening to television. We'll talk about that with Kurt Smith and what will be, to me, a fascinating show coming up on Monday. And today is our first Indy Free Day.
I wanted to tell you, we have a new follower on Twitter. We get a lot of them every day, but one of the new followers on Twitter happens to be a huge IndyCar fan. Thanks to Vince Welsh for retweeting that he was on the show. Picked up a new Twitter follower and a new listener in the Pittsburgh area. Also was the former, the past president of the Pittsburgh Curling Club. And no, we are not related, as far as I know. But that is an interesting combination. I have not met many fans like myself that like curling and IndyCar. I found that fascinating. I mean, don't you find that? There's more people out there like me. I feel so good.
Doesn't really make me feel like America's picked up any strength over this.
I'm not worried about it. I feel as though that I am not out on an island.
No, it just means there are other people on the island.
Well, all right, so I'm not alone on the island. How's that?
I mean, really? I mean, that's what it comes down to. You're just not alone on the island. The rest of us are out here talking sports.
Elio Castroneves with the fastest speed of the month at Indianapolis at 227.166. There's your 10 good IndyCar seconds going into qualifying weekend.
Yeah, that's great. Did they run the race today?
No, they didn't run the race today.
Well, then what does it matter what he ran?
Because qualifying starts tomorrow.
Okay, did they qualify today?
No, they didn't qualify today. They didn't qualify today.
Then what does it matter what he ran?
Takuma Sato's already run almost a 500-mile race this month of May. He's got 150 laps in already. All right, that's it. You can be Indy free the rest of the day. Feel better?
Well, we've already had two guests on this week. About we've had more guests on it this week than had in Indianapolis.
I doubt that. That's like saying there are no country singers in Nashville. I mean, that's just not, no.
All right, fine. We've had more guests on the Indianapolis 500 than they had this week in Fort Wayne.
Maybe.
Or anywhere else. How about New York?
All Philly, right, that there Pittsburgh, I will get, I will concede all of those.
New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
I will concede those. How about the Penguins making a change already at the top slot with GM? I know a lot. I know a lot of Penguins fans, and they're happy about it.
That's what today's show's about. Okay, that's why we're going to have on Tony DeFazio. We're going to talk about the Ray Shero move, and at the moment, the lack of a Dan Bylsma move.
I know a lot of Penguins fans that after the loss the other night were ready for a move to be made like that, and maybe even a move to be made in at the netminder slot.
Yeah, so that's great. Huh. Look, the Penguins are too much of a finesse hockey team. I don't mind finesse. I don't mind skill. It's why we watch the game. We love the skill and the finesse of a Crosby, a Malkin, and so forth. Okay. I got that. You still need to have a physical element to the game. You still need to have a physical element to the game. And the Penguins... It's interesting that the three games they won against the Rangers, they got physical and then completely backed off it. And you can't do that. You just can't have that. In order to have a balanced line, a great center, a sniper for a winger, and you still need somebody to do the dirty work for you. And what does the dirty work guy do? The dirty work guy does a couple things. Number one, he gets in the corner and he digs the puck out. Number two, because he's digging, sometimes he draws attention to digging in the corner, which then frees up space for your finesse center to have freedom of movement. And the other part is, they start messing with your finesse center, guess who takes care of business? It's no surprise that over the years, some of the great centermen in the game have had, you know, hey, we could talk all we want about Phil Esposito and the sniper and Ken Hodge, but they'll both tell you Wayne Cashman was invaluable. I mean, invaluable. And that's important. And the Penguins don't have those guys. They don't have those guys. You need to have that guy that is going to dig the puck out and make that rugged, tough kind of play for you. I mean, that's what you need. And the Penguins don't have a lot of those guys. They're too much of a finesse hockey team. Too much of a finesse hockey team. And that's a shame. That's a shame. Really is. So that was the big move made.
And you're going to talk more about that coming up.
Yeah, we hope so. Yeah. Next week we will have Kurt Smith on the show. We'll also have Scott Goodyear on the show next week. One final foray into Indy. You like that foray?
That was good. Hey, listen.
All right.
I can guarantee you that even few stations in Indianapolis are going to cover the 500 as well as we have this week and next week, with two of the guys on the broadcast for television and one of the guys on the radio side.
What does that tell you?
That we're on the cutting edge.
All right, in all seriousness,
What are the ratings right now for IndyCar?
I don't know. I don't look at the ratings. You know what I look at?
Yes,
I look at my TV. I look at my TV.
Yes, you do.
My
don't take
TV.
Them. What are the ratings for IndyCar right now? And I'm not. That's just not. I'm not being. You know. I'm asking you because I'm curious. I don't know. You seem to always know, like to the point where it is. So why don't you tell me?
You know what? I didn't look at what last night's was. I know St. Pete, the opener, was not as good as the year before. And that the year before was like a one. But that was the opener on ABC, and that didn't get a whole lot of hype. This race got a little bit more hype. I don't know. I didn't see the overnights for that particular, for this past race. Nice NBC, day. Though, I think does better than ABC does with it, quite honestly, with the ratings. But this happened to be an ABC broadcast these last 2 weeks, last week and this week.
So you don't know what the ratings are?
No, I'll look it up, though.
It has to be below one.
Well, let's see. It won in Indianapolis, I can tell you that.
Well, Indianapolis is a different...
That's good news.
It's a different deal.
Got a 9-1 in the central Indiana market.
It doesn't matter. I don't
I know. It was
central
I
Indiana
meant it
market.
As a joke yeah. because I know oh. that. I know it doesn't matter, but I'm still, I'll hunt it up.
What's next? So the next bumper music is Roy Orbison singing Only the Lonely?
I don't think so.
Come on. This is supposed to be your area.
I don't worry about stuff like that.
You should, because if it doesn't get a rating, it's going to die.
See, I don't think, no, it's not going to. There's still money to be made there. There's still a market for it. The problem is it doesn't get the ratings that the NFL does. That's the big thing. Everybody's comparing, like,
Kevin,
NASCAR
Kevin,
numbers.
Kevin.
What?
Kevin.
What?
Kevin,
what?
Kevin, Kevin. There isn't a single person on the planet that compares IndyCar to the NFL.
No, but
Zero.
We're always talking about the Indy, numbers
Kevin.
For...
Kevin,
for
slow
NFL.
Down. Slow down. I know that right now we're talking about, you know, like your heart's like pumping because, okay, I slow down.
Yeah,
deep breaths.
Deep breaths.
Nobody compares IndyCar to the NFL.
No.
Nobody.
It's not fair.
Least of all IndyCar. Okay. You don't compare it to the NBA playoffs. Okay. You don't compare it to Major League Baseball. You don't even compare it to the Stanley Cup playoffs, okay? But there's certain numbers that they've got to get to. If you don't clear one on cable, okay, you're women's basketball.
But here's my... And I understand where you're coming from, but here's my point. There are so many sports outlets now, so many sports networks... that will put anything on, including a game that happened 30 years ago with people that I don't even remember, just to fill time. So I have a hard time believing that there's going to be no outlet for IndyCar if it's not on broadcast television. Quite honestly, it doesn't bother me if it's on broadcast television or cable as long as I can watch it.
Okay. You insist.
I love NBC sports coverage. I think they do a great job with it.
Yes, they do. I'm just telling you that my sources tell me this is the last year of the series.
I don't believe that for a minute. You are completely off your rocker now. You are gone. Last year for the series.
It's just fun to hear your voice get high sometimes.
You are off your rocker.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That can't be true.
I'll watch it on the internet if I have to. My TV's compatible. How do you think I'm going to watch most of the qualifying this weekend?
You mean that's not on? One guy going in a circle?
I don't care. I've got the app. I'm happy.
One guy going in a circle.
Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Have you ever sat back and really thought about that? For almost 100 years, Sunbury Motors has been here for you. Four generations strong. That alone won't make you buy your next new Ford from SMC. But that reputation, plus these deals, will. Buy a brand new Ford Fiesta for only $12,810. New Focuses start at $15,915 at Sunbury Motors. SMC has always been the dealer you think of if you want a new Ford truck. Brand new 2013 F-150 crew cabs are discounted $9,600, starting at $34,939. If you want to buy a new Ford, it's really pretty simple. A 99-year reputation of satisfying customers, the largest Ford inventory in six counties, and thousands of dollars of savings makes SMC your preferred Ford dealer. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In the spirit of the Indianapolis 500, Kevin is easy to spot the upcoming week. He'll be the guy wearing the shirt with sponsor logos all over it. Don't you have any pride?
No. No.
Okay. That solves that issue. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Oh, boy. Domestics, imports, microbrews. They have the complete selection there. Need to stock up for the weekend. In fact, next weekend you'll really need it because that's the only way to get through 3 hours of going around in a circle. Where at the end of the race, you're really not sure what you're watching.
Listen, I don't know what you're watching, but it ain't 3 hours.
Okay.
How long is it? It's an all-day affair, my friend. Starts at 7 a.m.
What's at 7 a.m.?
Monaco.
I'll tell you right now, I don't think they have enough at Brewers Outlet to get me through something like that.
I'd like to try it.
I believe it's 7:30 on, and I think they're actually putting that one on NBC, not NBC Sports. I'm not sure though.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure you had it on the right channel so you didn't miss it. So you go to Monaco, then you have a little bit of a gap, then ABC's Indy 500 coverage starts, then you have some time to get out, enjoy the festivities of the day, maybe have a cookout, and then it's time for the 600.
Maybe there's a bowl game on. Maybe there's like a bowl game from like December they're going to repeat somewhere.
I'm sorry, even you have to concede that next Sunday is the biggest racing day of the year.
Of course I would. It's Indianapolis, and I'll watch the NASCAR race, too. The 600, I'll watch that. Yeah, I usually will join that in, I don't know, about 400 miles in.
Yeah, somewhere around the 400-mile mark, and I'll show up. And it is on.
And I still have 200 miles to go.
Monaco is going to be on the network on NBC at 7:30. It'll be on
Kevin,
the broadcast.
Nobody's going to watch Monaco. Nobody. Zero, zip, zilch. Okay. Not even the Andretti's. Okay.
Well, they're a little bit busy on Sunday. Okay.
Okay. They're not even going to watch it. All right. I mean, you know, even like a
a distant Andretti cousin going to watch it. All right. Now, back to Brewers Outlet.
Go ahead.
Soft drinks, fresh hot roasted peanuts. I love the pickle bar, especially the barrel pickles. I can't get enough of those. Love them. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Stock up for the weekend. Corey has made sure that everything is set for you when you arrive. Okay? It's a big responsibility Corey has, but broad shoulders, he gets it done. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, 99 years. 99 years. You know how many people, how many repeat customers that they have? Well, Tom and the gang will make sure that they will do everything in their power to fit your budget, fit your needs, and make sure that as time goes, you too will become a repeat customer. The Preakness is going to be tomorrow at Pimlico. We will have Dick Girardi on to discuss ponies in the next half hour. The Penguins today fired Ray Shiro, the general manager, but they said Dan Bylsma will have his job reviewed by the person hired as the GM. So Dan Bylsma gets to twist in the wind.
You're gone. You might be gone.
Well, that's about what it comes down to.
Actually, you know what, though? I think that's, if you're the Penguins ownership, I like that idea. Let the new guy come in. Is this the guy you want in there? Or do you want to take the team in a different direction? And then you can come back and say, hey, listen, we gave you the opportunity to turn it around. You didn't turn it around. Guess what? There's no excuses. Thanks for playing.
While I like that as a premise, if I'm Dan Bylsma, look, I want to know.
Oh, I agree with you there.
Okay, I want to know because guess what? What if it takes them a while to hire a GM? You know, and jobs are being taken left and right. Suddenly you look around and there are no jobs left.
Totally agree with you there.
I mean, for him, from his point of view, that's awfully shaky. On Monday, we're going to have Kurt Smith on the show. Wrote Voices of the Game. And yes, I'm going to ask him a lot of questions about Harry Callis. And about Whitey. But also about Bob Prince. He wrote the Bible of sports broadcasting. One of the things we're going to talk about, though, is also the young group of sports broadcasters. The bygone era of Red Barber, Mel Allen, Kirk Gowdy, Ned Martin, Jack Brickhouse, Ernie Harwell, Vin Scully, Harry Callis, By Som, Bob Prince, Rosie Rosewell, Chuck Thompson, Bill O'Donnell. They all cut their teeth on radio. All may have had their own distinct style, but they knew how to paint pictures and so forth. Weave a story. Are we losing that today? And I say this with all due respect to a group of fine young broadcasters, but are we losing it today with an even younger generation coming up that watches games on TV and doesn't listen to them on radio? Okay, in terms of like that night after night after night, because every game's on TV now. Okay, so yeah, they'll pop it in, they'll listen to a little bit in the car here and there, you know, and so forth. All right, but mostly, of course, now everything's on TV now. Are we losing a generation of broadcasters and the style of broadcasting because they'll watch and listen to a game on TV and it's a different broadcast than radio? Are we losing that generation, or and is the current generation poorer because of it?
You know, you and I always laugh about the fact that of storytelling and how I like that part of it. That's what I think often is missing in broadcasts right now. Is it doesn't feel like a story. It feels just like the event. There's very little background being done. It's a lot of statistics.
Well, it's a lot of statistics.
I mean, the difference between you and me is that the pregame show and whatever, look, is still the pregame show. I mean, it's like... It's a show unto itself, okay?
Yeah,
but when the game starts, it's the game, okay?
But I'm talking about something different, though, and that's what I was just saying. I mean, you and I always, you know, argue about that, but I like the story behind a player, and I don't hear that as much anymore in broadcasts. Like, last couple of weeks been struggling, worked out a lot in the cage over here, has been working with so-and-so, and now we'll see, you know, it's starting to pull out of the slump. You don't hear that. It's always statistics. It's always the number, the number, the number.
Well, that's because it's the easy way out. But I mean, you know, but
that's my
point.
For
example, you have limited time in football and basketball, okay? And we'll tell you in the pregame show who's practiced well, who hasn't, whatever, who's come on. Suddenly the guy's in the game. We'll tell you about the guy being in the game and so forth. And then, you know, like in basketball, Johnny Johnson went to the free throw line, and I talked about the day he hit 87 in a row in practice.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about, though.
Okay, but that's seconds, Kevin, okay?
Well, no, but I'm...
If you sit there and mumbo-jumbo the broadcast the way you're talking about, I don't know what the hell happened in the game.
But I'm talking more about baseball, where there's an opportunity to do that. And that's where I think, you know, that's where I think guys like Chris Wheeler are disappearing, because those are the guys that are just not numbers-oriented. They tell me more than just hitting 250 and 0-for-7 in his last at bat, or last seven at bats, or the last week. Tell me the story behind it.
And we saw that in the movie Major League. Anderson's a convicted felon, isn't he?
That doesn't say that here.
That's what you want?
Not exactly like that, but, you know, it's something. You know, give me insight. Especially if you're the analyst in baseball, give me insight that I'm not going to get anywhere else. I mean, you're doing the game. If you're doing a national broadcast, then it's a lot harder because you got to balance the insight out. But if you're the broadcaster for my favorite team, you better be bringing me stuff I'm not reading everywhere else. I mean, give me stuff that you know, because you're around the team all the time. I'm not saying you have to be in depth and give away secrets or anything like that, but you know, give me the stories that I'm not getting everywhere else. I can find a statistic, this batter statistics anywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? I take that as a no.
I don't even know what you're talking about. All right.
So. I'm just saying the art of the broadcast is going away. It's becoming statistics.
Well, you have to. Okay, I'll give you an example. Million Dollar Arm comes out tonight. All right. With John Hamm.
Right.
Kevin, we're talking about a movie.
Yeah, where they're trying to get guys that played cricket to come out and pitch in the majors.
You know it's a true story, right?
Yes.
Well, you know Rinku Singh. I mean, I know the story by heart.
I don't know the story by heart, but I know it's a true story.
I know the story by heart because Rinku Singh pitched for the Spikes.
There you go. And please tell me you shared some of that story.
Of course we did.
Well, there you go.
I got 5,000 hours between pitches, between guys going out and adjusting their batting gloves and their hat and the whole thing and going around and gyrating left and right and doing their little routine. Get back in the box and hit. Okay.
But that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of thing I feel is becoming a lost art. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Being able to give the background and not just the statistics.
Yeah, and I talked about him doing that because, I mean, obviously, it was a big deal. I mean, he only pitched, I think, one game in 2010 here, and then he pitched a few games in 2011 here. Hey, great guy. I'm happy for him. I'm glad they made the movie. I will go see the movie because, again, it's about somebody at least I know. And so you do talk about that. I mean, you know, when we talk about like an Alan Craig, for example, you know, with the Cardinals, you know, I remember, you know, and we talk about all, you know, we have time in baseball to tell the stories. In football and basketball, you don't have that much time. Okay? I'm sorry. They're going up and down the court in 35-second shot clock. I'm not going to sit there and tell you about, hey, you know, his parents, Alice and Manny, are here at the game today. It's good. Okay. You know, You gotta follow the ball, dog.
And I'm not debating that. And there's times where that doesn't fit. But there's also times where it does fit, and you can do it. And I'm just saying it's a raw start.
About, look, you're all about the open. Oh, the open. I mean, you got the game after the open.
No, I'm talking about during the game. You know, don't tell me that he's... I mean, it's great that he comes in and they're batting 125. Right-handers are batting 125 against him. Okay. Tell me why. You know, why are they batting 125? Well, you know, he's worked a lot on his curveball and it comes in on a, you know, something like that. But that's what's, you know, it's all been reading numbers. It's regurgitating the numbers in front of you.
So you don't like preparing for games?
No, I think there's more to preparing than just reading. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're just being difficult today.
I know a guy. I know a guy who grabs two rosters and does the game off the roster.
Yes, I've met many of those in my life.
He was telling a group one day. He goes, look, I just like to have a feel for the game. I'm like, I'm sitting there going, no, but you don't like to prepare for it. Yeah. I mean, really. Yeah. How excited are you for the open of the Indy 500 on a week from Sunday?
Oh, I love ABC's opens for the 500. They're often dramatic.
How long do they usually last?
Anywhere from 2.5 to 3 minutes. On average.
Yeah.
I think I've shared this before. One of my favorites was Jack Arute doing a comparison, and this was probably in the late 80s, early 90s. He's bringing his station wagon into his favorite full-service garage and daydreaming about, at that time, the Pat Patrick racing team coming out and doing a pit stop on his station wagon and comparing the differences. See, that's a piece that I loved. I mean, it was probably a 3-4 minute piece that took maybe a whole day to produce. But that's the sort of thing that's fun. As a viewer, that's the sort of thing I want. I want to be entertained, too.
You want to be entertained? Thank you, Maximus.
I want to be entertained.
Thank you, Maximus. Are you not entertained?
It's the first time I think we've ever quoted Gladiator on this program.
Spaniard, Spaniard, Spaniard. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Here's the story of a lovely lady.
Oh, jeez.
Who was bringing up...
See, now this was a story. They told me a story in the open.
Like their mother. Youngest one in curls.
See, and if I never saw this show and we were 3 seasons in, I knew everything that happened because it told me the story in the beginning.
And if they told you a story in the beginning, what did that do to you mentally?
What do you mean, what did it do to me mentally?
To make you sad, upset, thrilled, happy, what?
No, it just got me ready for the show.
See, I knew that's where you were going.
Here come bad news, talking to some man. I knew you were going happy.
All right. Maybe people get happy tomorrow based on how California Chrome's going to run 3-5, by the way, right now on the line. There are only 10 horses in this race. Which is interesting. I mean, it brings with a different dynamic. Dick Girardi is going to join us in the next half hour from Pimlico to talk about that. Then we'll try and get Tony DeFazio in the final half hour to talk about what happened with Ray Shiro and the Penguins today. Also, a little recap of the Steeler draft, where the Steelers amazingly had a massive priority and never once filled it. I thought the Steelers had a really good draft, except you can't give them an A for their draft. You can't. And the reason you can is they have a primary need and never came close to filling it.
Can you make him stop singing, please?
Well, no, I think he's got, it's fun. What? But, I mean, getting a fifth round corners don't usually start in the NFL.
Now that did concern me. You're right.
This is a corner deep draft. Okay, corner deep draft, and they didn't get a corner.
Okay,
I'm confused. So, I mean, so when it comes to that, I'm not. Unless I'm the Bengals, who drafted more receivers. Or the Ravens, who got more receivers. Or the Browns, who signed two more receivers yesterday. Okay, they'll look at the Steelers licking their chops. Because you don't have any corners.
It's all right. We'll just blitz them from linebackerville.
Absolutely. Blitz all you want, you know?
There'll be so much pressure on Johnny Football, he'll be called Johnny Sack. He'll just be Sack.
That's not the most talented team in the division.
No, it's not. It is the Bengals on paper. There's no question. Well, what do I always tell you?
The quarterback spot's the spot that kills them. And I'm telling you right now, that's the one thing about the Bengals is that I can't even tell you that Andy Dalton is functional and doesn't lose the game for you. Because that's not true, because in big moments he does lose the game for you.
When the money's on the table.
You know, I mean, he loses. He does not play his best when it's time. I mean, he's the third best quarterback in the division. Ben's one, Flacco's two. I know Raven fans may dispute that, but Flacco's not Ben Roethlisberger. Flacco has been a good functional quarterback who had a great year and is back to being a good functional quarterback.